Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is July 13th, 2006. Our session today is entitled The Wheel of Life. Our presenter is Jeannie Olson. Session number OLJ 2006-1. Let's listen in.
Well, welcome. I'll turn this on until I get started. I am Jeannie Olson, and I'm with my husband and co-teaching staff coordinators. It's a long title. This summer, I'm only here for 3 weeks, and I'm very glad to be here. It's exciting for me to share the wheel of life with you, because the first time I thought I was so excited about what this was and what I felt I learned from it and the visual image that I had to help me deal with kind of the complexities of life. So it's exciting for me to be able to share it with you today. So we will go ahead and start. And obviously, I don't like teaching classes with the lights out, because I think that's just a recipe for losing you. So I will turn it off while we're beginning to look at this. And this is a participation class, so I just want you to know that I'm going to be asking you to, I'll give you my description of it, though. It's an ancient meditation on modern life and how these things started. In high medieval times, when people were illiterate, they needed to be able to have teaching tools to be able to teach people a variety of things they need to know. For example, stained glass windows, you know, teach the story of creation and of Jesus' life and Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. So they needed visuals to teach the folks that couldn't read. And so in cathedrals, they also put in the wheel of life. And they carved this into the walls, or they used mosaics. And the bad news about this, it's not your eyes, if you're having trouble seeing this, is this is one rendition that my colleague and friend found. But she got it off the internet, studied it, worked on it, etc., went back to see if she could get a clear copy so she could do a PowerPoint, and it was not on the internet anymore. And I've asked artists, I've asked all sorts of people if they know this, if this mosaic, if they know where it's from, if they know what church it's from, so I can get a better copy of it. And so far, nobody knows. So if any of you do, I will give hundreds of dollars to the answer. Just for motivation for you.
I think I saw it.
So this is the best we can do, and it's not clear, but what you can't see, I'll fill in. Actually, this is lots better than I thought it was going to be, even though the screen is kind of silver. But what this is a teaching tool, and the teaching tool is the, I'll just give you the clue of, it's the emotions and changes of life. So with that, we're going to go through this together as this teaching tool. And I want you to tell me what you see. Just what do you see? Maybe I'll do this one just for a few moments. And if I start to lose you, you know I'm going to turn the lights back on. Okay, what do you see? You're going to have to say these things loud. I have a hearing loss, so I'm hearing this machine, the blower going, so just please.
Four people clinging to a spoked wheel.
Okay, four people clinging to a spoked wheel. What I'm going to tell you is that that is the same person. Just so you know that, because that's not evident.
Is that the same? Is it like a king going through, like, prince, and then king at top, and then the fall?
Okay, so you see changes there.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's begin, maybe, by looking at the top one. Let's focus on the top one. What do you see about the one that's on the top? And you used the word king, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you see what's on top of his head?
Crown.
Okay, you got the crown. What else do you see about that one figure?
A robe on his shoulders.
A robe on his shoulders, which says what?
Royalty.
Okay.
But there's something underneath.
So he's sitting on a chair.
He's sitting on a chair. All right.
Looks like maybe he's got something.
He's the only one not clinging.
Something in his lap. Yes. There could be something in his lap, a scepter or something like that. He's not clinging. I heard that.
Yeah.
He's not clinging. Is he even holding on?
No.
No. Okay. Sitting on a bench, perched up there, which gives you a feeling of what?
Mastery.
Start that again.
Mastery.
Mastery. Okay.
Power.
What else?
Authority.
Power.
Say it again.
Authority.
Authority.
Power.
Power. Okay. Oh, perfect. Oh, great words. Great words. Okay. Anything else about that figure?
He's unafraid. He's waving to the.
Okay. Is that the kind of Queen Elizabeth way?
Comfort at ease.
The way it's kind of blurred, I don't know if you can tell if it's a man or a woman, but it looks more like a man. But
okay. But we don't exactly know, do we?
No.
Could be either one, and that probably serves us best, so we can't tell.
Is he connected to the person in the middle?
Is he connected? Well, what do you think?
I think she's holding the whole thing.
You think she's holding the whole thing? Okay. All right, and we'll get to her later. We do know that, so probably to her. So, okay, we'll get to her later. So we've got this kingly person sitting on the top, and in control, what do you call that person? Successful and in control also?
Confident.
Confident? Okay.
I like those words. That just happens to be on top.
Say that again.
Just happens to be on top.
Happen?
When you're on top like that, you don't have to hold on.
All right.
When you're under and on the side, you have to hold
okay.
on.
Okay. All right.
Is there a face underneath the bottom? I was trying to...
Is there a face underneath here?
You're yeah, saying, that's what I was...
I don't think so. That I really don't know, but
okay.
I don't think so.
All
right. Ines?
I was stretching. I can say something.
You do what?
I was stretching.
Oh, okay. All right. We've kind of looked at that figure. Now I want to move to this figure. What do you see about the figure on the right?
He's clinging.
He's clinging. He's clinging.
He's fearful.
He's fearful. Good.
Upside down.
Heading
he's
down.
Upside down.
Heading downwards.
Heading downward. All right.
Almost looks like he's trying to keep himself from... going down like he's
bracing himself so he doesn't go any farther down. Okay, good, good. Anything else?
I think he's older.
You think he's what?
Older.
You think he's, well, it's the same person, but I can see where you would say that. If one of the top almost looks childlike, doesn't it? And so, yeah, well, it's older.
Is he losing his crown?
Well, yeah, no crown.
Tree.
I don't think there is a crown there at all. I think it is gone. Because you hold on a crown if you're upside down. Come on in. There's some seats right here in front or in back, whichever you prefer. You have to be able to see this, so pick your seat.
Luther's on the back.
Okay, what else about that person? The crown is gone. He's falling. He's upside down. He's trying not to go that direction. Anything else?
Is there a different expression on the face?
Yes, I think so. I think the face has one of fear,
alarm.
It looks
and what?
Alarm.
Alarm.
The face looks down.
Down. Okay. All right.
Different costume.
All right. I forgot to tell you the name of this one is Happiness. Now, what do you think the name of the one on the right is?
And fear.
Close. When life is going really, really well, and you're on top of the world, and all of a sudden there is a change.
Despair.
Sorry.
Despair.
Despair is one word we could use, but it's loss. The happiness of sitting on top of the world has changed. Something has changed. And the wheel has turned. And now there is a loss. And think how you feel in the midst of loss. You know, you feel like your world has been turned, you know, upside down, that you're clinging, that you've lost that joyful look, even perhaps innocent look we could give happiness, since some of you said it looked like a younger person. And now that one is called loss. Okay. The wheel continues to turn. Again, this is the same person. What do you see about the person on the bottom? You've now got happiness and loss. And what's happened to the person on the bottom?
Hanging for dear life.
He's on a very plain.
Mm-hmm. How plain?
He's all white and a little bit long.
Okay, do you think that's clothing?
Maybe on the bottom.
Just the bottom half is clothing. So what's the rest of it?
Naked.
He's naked, except for a little loincloth to make it be okay to be in a cathedral. He's naked. What else do you see about him?
expression
on
my face.
Fearful, too.
Fearful, okay.
More of despair.
We might even use your word,
despair.
Despair.
Yeah.
I was gonna say there's almost a sense of bottom, but now it's going to start. I was thinking almost hopefulness, because when you get to the bottom, that's when you start coming up again.
But is he coming up yet? Even hit bottom? Totally.
Oh, no.
Really?
He hasn't hit bottom yet. So you may be ahead of the wheel. Oh, there's something else that said back here.
I thought younger almost like a baby, but I couldn't be totally wrong.
A baby?
Looks younger or something?
Looks older to me. Like about to fall off the wheel.
Yeah, perhaps not that old. I don't think he is, but what is a baby? But
dependent.
How about vulnerable? Does he look vulnerable? Doesn't have any clothes on. Little loincloth. The bottom of the wheel.
Hanging on tighter than anybody else.
He's hanging on tighter
legs
than
are
anyone
around.
Else.
Yeah.
Okay. So
hanging
what feelings would
like,
you
yeah.
put for this fellow? We have despair. I want you to list the feelings that you have. And I'm going to give you the name of this person. It's suffering. So when you are suffering, what are you feeling?
Lonely.
Sad.
Loss.
Helpless. Despair.
Anxious.
Okay. And what's his head doing?
Hanging down.
If it had rained, like it did the other day, and this was, you know, what would his hair be going through?
Puddles,
murk, muck, right? Could be kind of being dragged through the muck of earth. Just, I hate to kind of move this one because we now have it in the perfect spot, but there is another wheel of life that I got that I want to show you because I think at different cathedrals had different wheels of life. And this one shows something that I think is very important. Is that up high enough? Look at this guy on the bottom. Tell me what you think is happening there.
He's falling.
He's almost falling off.
Falling off? Okay, feel like you're falling off the wheel. What else could be happening here?
He looks like he's bracing himself.
He's what?
Bracing himself with his palm on the floor.
He could be trying to brace himself.
Looks like he's trying to grab for something.
Grab for something, Eunice?
He might want off.
He might be grabbing for the earth. He might want off. What would be happening if he wants off the wheel?
Suicide.
I cannot do this anymore. And when people that we know and love have taken their own lives, where are they on this wheel? They're on the bottom. And it is so awful. There's only one option here. I need to get off the wheel. I can't do this.
You can't see that the wheel is turning.
Exactly. Because where is he looking? Is he looking up toward her or up toward here or hoping back to happiness again? No. He's only looking at the ground. Okay. That wheel has more despair for me when I look at it. Simply because of that vulnerable, careful. I'm not even sure he has a loincloth on either. I think it's just kind of covered. But, okay. Well, we said that the name of that one is suffering. So, if he is suffering, what's the last one on the left? I heard it all in the room.
Hope.
It is hope. Why do we name him Hope? Tell me what you see about him.
It's not so much clinging as climbing up.
Climbing up, yeah. There's that look of the one hand over the other, like, I don't know how many of you had to climb the rope in grade school, in gym class. You got to put one hand over the other. So we get the idea of climbing. What else is there?
Having a vision up, a higher vision.
Okay. Tell me more about the vision thing. What do you see?
Hopefulness. He's looking to see something is better.
Okay. And what do you think he's kind of looking at here, even though it's not very clear? Is he looking up toward happiness?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. or into the figure that we haven't talked about yet. What else do you see about hope?
It looks like he's got the robe on.
Yeah, what's that about?
It's like a cape.
A cape, okay. Why does he have a cape on?
Protection.
Why? Where do you get that?
Someplace between the bottom and...
Okay, and what's it even got some metaphor for? I mean, we're looking at metaphors here. We're looking at a story that's telling a picture that's telling a story. So what is that? There's no mistakes here. The author and artist put things in.
Warmth and safety.
Warmth and safety, okay. Yeah. But how do you get that?
Whatever that figure is in the middle.
Oh, you think that the person in the middle gave it to him?
Well, that's
fine. She's turning the wheel.
You think what?
She's turning the wheel.
Okay, we're going to get to her. Okay, we're going to get to her. How many of you have ever had a deep cut and then you grow scar tissue? Okay? And is scar tissue not stronger than your own skin? For those of you who, anybody in the medical field, will know, and probably any of us who've had a scar knows that this tissue that forms a scar tissue is tougher skin than our regular skin. Perhaps by going through suffering, has he added something to who he is? Somebody used protection, another cloak, another way of taking care of himself, another strength. I don't know what other words you might want to use, but what else does he have on that nobody else seems to?
Red stockings.
Stockings or shoes. Okay, how many of you gone hiking?
I have.
When you are coming back from hiking, you've had this long hike and you're tired, but you're coming down the path, isn't it a good thing to have shoes on? You know? Because your feet you're tired and they hurt. But you're really glad to have shoes on because of that path up and that path down. The only way you can really do that is with shoes. And what do shoes tell us about our abilities? Are we able to do more?
Let us walk where we might not.
Pardon?
Let us walk where we might not.
Yeah, okay. I love the way you put that. We can walk where we're more fortified, perhaps would be the word, to be able to do more when we got shoes on. Than the vulnerable state of that poor fellow on the bottom whose feet are exposed.
It seems strange that he's dressed in black clothes.
I shouldn't say that.
What else about black? A friend and I talked about this yesterday. Why do you think it's black?
I don't know. Black, I associate with mourning, and I associate it with darkness, but...
It's obviously...
This is the Middle Ages. What else wears black? Oh, go ahead.
Well, just the opposite of the very bottom. That's the stark white...
Single.
I was going to say, black, you're not so visible when it's dark, so that you're more protected.
Protected. I like that. Mm-hmm. Somebody else said something over here.
Sable. Rich, you know, sable
is
black.
Oh, maybe it was. Maybe it is sable. Who knows?
I
was thinking of the priest. The priest of the time. What did they? They were figures of what?
Authority,
knowledge, power. And we got to. If the Bible study talked about context. Well, the context of this is Middle Ages, high Middle Ages, and black would be a feeling of, you know, they were the ones who were educated,
right?
And had the strength and strength.
The college students always wore black.
Yeah, college students wear black robes. Professors do when they go to their little march. Okay. All right. Now, so we've got happiness, and we've got loss, and we've got suffering, and we've got hope. What's that middle figure?
Fortune.
Say it again.
Fortune.
Lady Fortune.
The Wheel of Fortune.
Okay. In a secular setting, I think she would be called the Lady of Fortune. Huh. And because she's in a cathedral, what do you think she's called?
Mary.
could be. What else? What seems to be unique about her? What do you notice about her when you look at her?
She's behind everything.
I heard several things.
Number one, she's wearing a crown and she's manipulating the wheel.
Okay. She seems to manipulate the wheel, and that could be a throne, a crown on her head.
She's bigger. It looks like her eyes are covered.
Okay. Her eyes are covered.
Huh.
And
And that's not your imagination. It's not the badness of these overhead. Her eyes are covered. Why are her eyes covered?
Justice.
Lady Justice, right? And why does Lady Justice have her eyes covered?
Unbiased.
I love the way you put that. Unbiased. So, what does that say about somebody said she's moving the wheel, but she's blindfolded? So, what does that say?
She hasn't got a clue where it's going.
She doesn't have a clue where it's going. Or,
or who's
what
on
else?
It?
Or what?
Or who's on it?
Or who's on it? Or where they are. What does that say to you?
Well, it's rather profound to me that it's the same person mm-hmm. on this wheel, which would lead me to believe that then it's personal. And
okay.
This is the personal Lady Justice of each person.
Okay. Well, it kind of makes me feel like life's a crapshoot. Where you're going to go next. Sorry.
No!
You have your ups and downs.
Right.
You have your ups and downs, but no matter where you are on that wheel, it will change.
There you go.
So
it's Lady Justice, and she got her eyes covered, and it's the wheel of life.
Is that really what they call her?
Say that again?
Is that really what she's called, Justice? That really seems strange to me.
No. Lady, what did I just say? I didn't. Well, she's like Lady Justice.
Yeah.
She is a Lady Justice. So let's talk about what her name perhaps is. Somebody had said she might be Mary. Somebody said Lady Luck. And I said in the secular thing she would be. So what do you think and who is she?
Mother Earth.
That could be. And in the high medieval times, the feminine was more accepted than it was in the dark ages.
So is that the goddess?
Say that again?
The goddess.
In Hebrew, the word wisdom is feminine.
So Sophia.
Sophia. So it could be Sophia. Whether she has that name or not, I believe she is wisdom. So does that add to the understanding of it?
Well, yeah. You gain wisdom by going through those things.
Gain wisdom by going through it. Tell me about the colors that you see. We talked about the black. We talked about the white. But she's wearing what?
Red.
Good. What else do you see about who else might be wearing that color?
Everybody's wearing red except for the naked.
Everybody's wearing red except the one who's naked. What does that tell you?
That one is somehow not as connected.
Say it again?
That one is somehow not as connected.
That when you're down, that far down, you lose wisdom.
Okay. But what does it even say more? I'll phrase this differently. What does it say about her that she's wearing what the other folks get? I just kind of gave it to you there. But she's wearing red. There, and the three figures, let's forget about the one on the bottom because he's in Dutch despair. You know, he doesn't have any clothes, so we can't count him. But why is she wearing red and the other three figures are wearing red?
She's on the same playing field.
She's on the same playing field? Who said that? Yeah. On the same playing field. What is she trying to do?
Well, does she represent the wisdom that's our innate wisdom inside of all of us that we can tap, like in our hearts that we can tap into, and it shows in different places people more able to tap into that, possibly?
There's definitely a good observation. Empathy?
Let's take another approach. These are in cathedrals?
These are in cathedrals.
So maybe it's a mother church. There's a certain amount of...
The church is referred to as a she, isn't it?
One on the left is not fully knowledgeable, but is learning and has a cloak of at least being in the church.
The other thing that the scholars that put this together said, it's empathy with humankind. It's empathy with
humankind. She has empathy.
She has empathy with humankind. And what does that say about our Christian story? Being, you know, like as Jesus walked the earth and knows our stories, knows our happiness, knows our loss, knows our suffering, knows hope, that she also is empathizing by wearing the same color. What do you know about, which direction to go here. I guess I'll go with, where is the center of the wheel on her?
At the center.
At the center. Okay. And what approximately do we have right here? What does that mean? Why is the wheel in her belly button?
Is she connected?
Connected. To what?
To the wheel.
To the wheel. Right. And what's that a sign of? What's that a metaphor for?
Birth.
Life. Birth and life. Definitely. Okay, on this one, however, it is connected... Where?
Why?
And what does that tell us?
Love.
Love. Whether it's a connection of birth or a connection of love, she's saying in this, I'm connected to you in those two ways, one or the other, or both ways. Okay, now the wheel is, we've talked about the wheel is moving. And she has hold of it. And this one, we'll go back to this one. What's a little more obvious than that one, however?
It's like she's flipping it.
She's really moving it. This one is almost like it's balanced, but we know it isn't because a wheel turns. But in this one, it actually looks like she's got one up and one down, like she's actually in more of a state of turning that wheel. Okay.
Jeannie, is there any, what is the significance historically of the red robe? Do you happen to know?
What do you think?
Well, I'm sitting here trying to figure it out, because there is some historical significance of a red robe, I believe.
What does the color red symbolize to us?
Royalty.
Two things to me. What?
Royalty.
What else?
Blood
of Jesus. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say?
Blood of Jesus.
Okay, blood of Jesus. When you watch the Congress meeting and the president is going to speak, what people do you notice in the audience as the camera spans? You ever notice how many women wear a red suit? Or how many men wear a red tie? What do they say a red tie is?
Power.
Power.
Power. Well,
so that's
our bloodthirsty politicians.
So I don't think I know the answer to that, but I don't think there's a wrong answer. So any of those, you know, could be it.
Thank you.
Do you think the Catholic Church, the cardinals wear red?
Could be. She's Lady Wisdom, but could be power too. Okay.
So here's another interpretation. So if you consider it more of a church interpretation, the one on the left is more a monk. He has a cloak of learning of Christ. The one on the top has a crown of being in Christ. The one on the right is a Pharisee and has fallen out. No, just a little humor there. The one on the bottom has no connection to the church and is really in despair.
I guess you could open it up to any interpretation, but since you were late and...
I felt that I was much later on the Wheel of Life.
This Wheel of Life is an ancient meditation of modern life and a spiritual... a tool to teach the emotions of change in a person's life. And they were carved into the walls or mosaic into the walls of cathedrals. So that is true, but the people that have supposedly found some notes of understanding about this, I mean, there's no wrong answer, as I said before, but supposedly that's what this is saying. Okay, what this is also saying, and I better move along here, is... what do you know about a wheel? If when you were a little kid and you went to the park and your mom or dad put you on these things that spin around and around and around, you had to hold on to your life. Some of us absolutely hated those things, so we didn't do it. But if we somehow got on it, we didn't want to throw up our breakfast, where did you go?
To the center
of the wheel, because what happens at the center?
Mm-hmm.
It stays still.
It stays still. In the center of every wheel is a still point. And the closer you get to the center of the wheel, you're less, the centrifugal force is less throwing you about, right? How then do you think, what do you think this wheel then is saying about where you are on the outer rims of the wheel or closer to the center? What might it be saying?
Wisdom centers us.
Say that again.
Wisdom centers us.
Wisdom centers us. Okay.
The force of one experience generates the next.
The force of one experience. So because you have experience that it's going to move the wheel itself. The experience is going to move the wheel, you're saying, rather than Lady Wisdom. Okay? So then you're saying we have some power in it to move on the wheel.
Well, I don't know about that. But.
Okay. But one affects the other. Okay. Anything else about that?
I'm thinking about volition. Does she have the volition to move forward or back, or is she not the force that turns the wheel? And secondly, it strikes me as almost pagan, from what I understood of church theology, that what happens to us, I don't know, I'd like that connected. What happens to us is not arbitrary, it's one kind of thinking, is it not?
And I think that's a very good point. There is, except for this Lady Wisdom, this doesn't look like a religious picture that you'd find in a cathedral, because it doesn't have little demons that show hell, and it doesn't show Jesus, and it doesn't show God, and it doesn't show those symbols that we expect to see in a cathedral. And so, again, you know, I repeat what I said a few minutes ago, is that this was a tool to teach folks how to deal with the emotions of life. And we haven't gotten to the real spiritual part of this yet. We've simply gotten, all Buddhism centers on life is suffering. That's what Buddhism, its center core. In the book, was it Road Less Traveled, when Peck said, his first line of the book is, life is difficult. And why did that book sell so well? Because all of a sudden somebody was speaking the truth. Life is difficult. And now what do we do about that? You know, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. I mean, there are so many different ways that we can look at how life is. I mean, and how we deal with it. So we haven't really gotten to the spiritual part of what this is yet. But what we're talking about now in the center is kind of that spiritual part. So I'm going to show you what we're now talking about. Well, I'll use that first. What this wheel is also saying is that the only way life goes is on this wheel of life. And no matter where you are on the wheel, you're going to move to the next place at some point in time. And, for example, any one of these, we'd love to stay up here because that's where we feel comfortable and that's where, it's routine and we don't even have to hold on, but life's going to change and we are going to have something that's going to move us down this way. Now, the only way that we can not feel the absolute despair is when we're going through loss, if we realize and have the faith to say, I'm going to get through this. The wheel is going to move, and I'm going to get through this. So in order to find faith, and have faith, is that backwards? No. Where loss and hope intersect, we find faith. The only way that we don't want to jump off the wheel, for most of us, is that we know that when life's troubles come along, and I know there are plenty of you in here, for everyone who's in this room, there's a story of grief and loss and sadness and suffering. And the only way we believe as people of faith that we can get through this is to know that when we get into loss, that we have the faith that we're going to get back to hope. And that the only way that's really going to happen is to go through suffering. I worked with the grief recovery group for years, and so I worked with people who had lost their spouse, their children, their grandchildren, their parents, their sisters and brothers, and so on, best friends. And when you're going through that, you're in the midst of suffering, the only way you get through suffering is through suffering. There's no way around it. There's no way over it. The only way to do is to get through the work of it. And suffering and grief are work. Now, think of the people who decide, I can't do this. I can't do this. Give me this bottle of gin. Or give me these pills. Or I'll be so busy in life that I'm not going to think about the grief that I'm in. Doesn't work. In the end, it doesn't work. So the only way we get through the suffering is through the suffering. And the only way we can do that is with the faith that says, I won't be here forever. I was working with a young woman this last 2 years who lost the love of her life. It was her husband. And I've never seen someone so in love, and I've never seen someone in so much grief. And I kept saying to her, I know you don't believe me, but you will not always feel this awful. You will not always feel this awful. She said, Jean, you don't know. I said, I don't know how you feel. I don't know how you feel. I've never been there. But what you have to trust me is that by going through the suffering, you will get better. So that's the point, I think, of that, is that we find faith. Now, where happiness and suffering meet is joy. Happiness is fleeting. You know, happiness is fleeting. That's why that's not called joy on the top. But what is it, as people of faith, we find is the joy when we know that happiness and suffering come together in joy. I think a good example of that is Mother Teresa. She could have had a pretty, you know, happy routine life being the nun that she was, and she realized that there were people who were in that midst of loss and grief as she walked the streets of Calcutta, and she went directly into suffering knowing that she could make a difference. That by her connection, by her love, by her touching people, by them bringing them in, allowing them to die with dignity, that they had hope. And in doing that, I believe she and all of us in what we do in life, where we find our true joy is when we're connecting with other people, that we realize it's not that egocentric, it's all about me. Because that wheel, if we keep doing the wheel around and around and around, and we don't make any progress, and when we're down here suffering, we haven't learned anything, and it's all about us, how much joy do we really have in life? Think of the times you're most joyful. Is when you know you're a child of God, and you know you have the capabilities to get through stuff, and you've reached out to somebody else and made their life better. I know there's a lot of teachers and ministers and folks that work here. We all have an area of life, whatever we do, we know that we're happiest when we've reached out and made life better for somebody else. So that's why happiness and suffering meet in joy. And all of that is encompassed in the container of love. And where do we get love? In that still point in the middle of that wheel. So the closer we get to where that still point was, where we find God, is where we find that love and that joy and that faith. Now, does that make any sense? Do you want to talk about that, disagree with that? Yeah, go ahead.
I find it kind of interesting that happy is kind of above faith. I think sometimes, you know, it seems like when everything is going great, then everything seems to be, when you're on the top of the world, you know, it seems like people may tend to fall away from faith. But when you're down at the bottom suffering and experiencing loss, that's when you really kind of focus upward and turn to your faith.
Where do we learn the most?
In your suffering.
In the suffering.
But what if this were three-dimensional? What if this mm-hmm. what if this were a pyramid? Mm-hmm. What if faith and joy were higher than? Mm-hmm.
And there is a circular thing that's very similar to this, that's somewhat like that, three-dimensional.
So it's a superficial happiness. It's kind of like you feel you're on top of the world, but it's not really deep. And the center part of it, then you get into the deep happiness, the joy. So it's a different And some people feel that, well, I have all these material possessions,
exactly.
So I'm happy, I'm on top of the world.
Yeah.
They don't realize that this is really very superficial.
Very superficial. Yeah. But we love our happy times, don't we? Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing to be happy. I'm not saying that at all. Being here at Holden is a happy time, you know.
Yeah.
But we also have those times where we just, you know, no matter what you're doing here, you're just finding yourself, whether it's, you know, spinning, which is what Ellie's doing right now. My guess is she's having a great deal of joyful experience and happiness doing that. Sitting down with a conversation with somebody here and just connecting, that's joy. Or seeing those kids last night experiencing their fate. I thought about that family with the daughter doing the prayer and the son doing the prayer, and I thought, that brings me great joy to see that family and how they're functioning and how those little kids are learning that they too can be leaders and that they too can act out their faith and stand up. And, you know, that brought me great joy to experience that family and the Christ-centeredness of their activities. Anything else about that?
I don't think about that, but the wheel itself, unless I missed it, all the characters, it looked to me like they were looking out at us.
Mm.
Like, will you help me?
Oh.
And I don't know if that's true in that picture.
Back up. See, if that's true.
Yeah, thank you. What I'm...
Oops,
that won't
work either.
Yeah.
Very.
Are we there?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're all looking... I don't know, maybe not, but...
Yeah,
I asked the question...
I like that he's my husband.
You're the... You're the expert on
grief. No, I'm not sure.
Can you go through grief alone? Can you get through it without someone's support and love?
Okay.
I don't know.
I think if it isn't there, I think it's a good thing.
Not nearly as well.
Not nearly as well. I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah.
And the wheel keeps turning. All right. And I think that is a message that whether we're turning toward the wisdom.
That guy had hope crawling up. Get me up there.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind.
Yeah. And are they looking at wisdom? And who is wisdom seeming? Even though her eyes are closed, who does she seem to be looking at?
Oh.
Okay, and who does she seem to be looking at in this one?
Suffering.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. And I find them both meaningful to me. That wisdom would be looking at suffering and saying, you know, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. You're going to do this. Or also looking at hope and saying, you did it.
It's interesting, though. When
you
found
look
at this when she's looking at suffering, but that's when she's most active and looking like she's turning the wheel.
Hang on. It's going to get better.
I'm coming.
Yeah. Even though we're supposedly she can't see.
Yeah. And she's
but maybe he's calling out to her.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I really need to know if she's turning the wheel or if she's balancing the wheel.
Okay. We don't know that, do we?
I vote for balance.
Yeah, and they're both different. This one, it really looks like it's a turn.
Right.
But if she's holding that wheel, what does she have to be?
Strong.
What else?
She has to be balanced.
Indifferent.
Well, this isn't Jesus, remember. This is wisdom.
Yes,
it's interesting. Grounded. Yeah, I like that. Grounded.
On this one, the one on top doesn't look nearly as secure. It's like they're almost slipping a little bit. And I don't know if it's, you know, they're just a little bit.
And what's happiness kind of looking at in this one?
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, how long am I going to get to stay here to get away? Yeah.
Can you climb inward on this boat?
Well. That was a great transition sentence, and I'm going to go there. Because what the whole thing is, what this whole wheel is saying is the closer you get to the center, the more that you're not going to get thrown by life's problems.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, how do we get centered? How do we move toward that center so that when life gives us all these things? Now, what could happen, and I see it, I'm a chaplain in a hospital, and I work sometimes with addictions patients, hearing their fifth step. In the 12-step program, at the fifth step, you write all the things you wish you hadn't done in life, and then you share it with God and another human being and another human being. And you see people coming in and out of the addictions program, and on that wheel you say, you know, and then you see them falling off the wagon again and having, you know, going through the whole thing, and you say, have they learned anything in this process? How many times are they going to do this before they lose it? Then you find somebody who does look wisdom in the face and says, you know, I'm not making progress. I need to do something different here. Does, and works the program and comes out, you know, sober for the rest of their lives. So the question becomes, we're all going to do this thing. Are we going to learn in the process? Are we going to gain that understanding, that insight, that faith connected with love to be able to not always go in the circle but not learn anything? So how do we go between grow to the middle?
We're gaining wisdom as we go to the middle.
And how do we gain wisdom? As people of faith, how do we gain wisdom? How do we get to the center? How do we center ourselves?
Through experience.
Okay, but what about experience? Am I going to have the same experience again and again and again and never move toward the center? Or am I going to have experience and gain understanding? How am I going to gain understanding?
Study and prayer.
Study, prayer.
Meditation.
Fellowship.
Reading the Bible.
Bible study.
Some kind of regular spiritual practice.
Regular spiritual practice, whatever that may be. Walking the labyrinth.
Looking into yourself.
Say that again.
Looking into yourself.
Looking into yourself. Finding the God within, where it has touched and loved us.
Okay.
And I think coming to wholeness is kind of one of those spiritual practices, for at least for me, that does that. And I think one of the things that Lady Wisdom, one of the things that it just also says to me as I was working on this the other day is the theme, I am with you always. No matter where we are on that wheel, what our faith says to us, what our God says to us, what Jesus says to us is, no matter where you are, that thing, I'm with you. And Lady Wisdom isn't turning and saying, oh, you know, I think so-and-so ought to be down here for a longer time. I mean, that's why the blindfold's there. That doesn't happen. But wherever we are, and you know, why are there people who spend more time here, though? You know, people who spend more time here? So can we make that wheel go faster?
No.
I don't know. But we do know there are people who spend more time in the bottom.
There are people who just have crap happen to them consistently.
They do. And there are people who don't work hard. Can you somehow, in the process of working on your grief and your sorrow and your loss, help move back up? Isn't he kind of indicating, I can move a little on this thing. I can make good decisions that will help me move. I can move toward the center where I'm finding that love and that faith and God, the God within who loves me, gives me birth, cares about me.
So is this spokes? If Lady Wisdom's balancing wheel are the spokes steps, then you have to kind of, you have to jettison yourself kind of around the circle.
I don't think she could balance it, because if she was balancing it, suffering would always be suffering and there wouldn't be any hope. You know what I mean? If she wasn't turning the wheel, the critters on there would be forever where they are.
Do they have to do the work of moving around the wheel, or do they have to do the work of moving in toward the center?
Right. I think the things that happen to us in life that we have no control over are one thing. What we decide to do with that, and how we decide to center our lives in our faith.
You're talking about people being stuck in suffering. And I would think that when you're at the bottom of the wheel, that would be the easiest point to stop the wheel and stay. I mean, you put a foot out, you know, or dangle, and you're dragging. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you're there.
You can make it worse, you're saying.
You're making it worse. You're providing your own breaks rather than allowing yourself to go on.
And the interesting thing about the wheel is you know, when you're here and life is just so good, and then something happens and you go that direction, what do you want to do? Oh my gosh, I want to go back. Don't you say, haven't you said that? I just want to go back to the way life was before such and such happened.
Yes.
That's human nature. But the wheel never goes backwards. Mm-hmm. It's always going to go clockwise. Mm-hmm. and we have to go through, and it can happen on a daily basis. You can get up for work and everything's just a great day, and you go out and got a flat tire, and then the traffic is terrible, and then you didn't clock in on time, and then things get worse because then somebody says something about the work that you did that, you know, you really thought you did a good job, and somebody says, so all of a sudden, and then someone says, and so you're feeling dreadful about who you are and what you've done, and now you spill coffee down the front of your vest suit. And then somebody says to you, you know, I just love that, you know, you did such and such for me, and I appreciate it so much. And all of a sudden, you're back feeling hopeful again. And it goes on a daily basis. We're on probably more than one wheel. The big things in life, those wheels don't turn very fast. When someone's in the midst of grief, that wheel seems like it's never going to move, or that it's going, you know, I can't think of better, whoa, no, not so better. And yet it goes on a daily basis through a variety of things and a variety of times during the day. So we're on probably more than one wheel. Which,
I was thinking about how we interact with each other's wheels on a daily basis.
Thank you.
How I am with someone in loss or suffering or hope or happiness. Rejoice with those who rejoice with those who weep. What happens? Just like you said, days go on cruddy, and then someone takes you from that lost suffering place to that hope happiness.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I haven't looked at any of my notes since I got up here. The thing I wanted to also say is this: having this wheel in my mind, I hope, gives me empathy for other people, because everybody's on a wheel. And my wheel may be, you know, I'm just having a great time, people love for me, but that may not be where the people I love are. And what this does, and since I work in a hospital and I work with people who are oftentimes right here, because I'm a hospital chaplain, and so I see people sick, and I see people dying, and I see families grieving, and I see chronic illness, so I see a whole lot of that. But also just in our lives, we're all at a different place on the wheel, and the fact that we all know that, as Cheryl so beautifully said, gives us empathy and in relationship with others to say, you know, it looks like you're at the bottom of the wheel right now. If that is class, otherwise you may not say that because they have no idea what you're talking about.
Is there significance in the two trees and in the borders?
Thank you. What do you think? Artists put things in, there's no mistakes. Why are there artists there?
Well, I'm saying the borders is possibly being the winds of change and the white water of life. Wow.
Love that. What do the trees say?
Like symmetry of the trees, they're pulled in like figures of the sky.
Okay.
I was thinking trees of good and evil.
And what?
Good and evil.
Oh, hadn't thought of that. Yeah, trees of good and evil. Life?
But
yes.
With trees, there's growth.
There's and roots.
Roots and growth.
Absolutely. Do you know when trees grow the most? The winter. You think it's the spring and the summer because all those leaves come out and it looks like growth. They grow most in the winter. And what does that say about the wheel of life? Where do we go? In the summer. Or in the winter. This is also be called summer, fall, winter, spring.
I'm not thinking.
Do you say, you want to say something?
I was just thinking it takes forever to grow a tree, too.
It does.
I mean, you just see a beautiful tree that.
Yeah. It takes a lifetime to have to grow, for all of us to grow, too. And it's a constant thing, isn't it? Yeah.
But what do we do with bushes?
Pardon me?
Well,
that could be answered in one.
Thank you for bringing it in. No, that's it. But I think, for me, as I look at this, and our time is, we only have a couple of minutes, so is there anything anybody else wants to say before?
Artists in for a reason, because I remember the first time I was in a cathedral in England, they pointed out that builders made their own little marks here and made their marks there. And I'm curious, whose hand did this? Was it decided by a committee and a decision making as to this is what we will believe, or was it an artisan in the making of the cathedral who was interpreting or affirming, I don't know, the origin of the thinking? Could be common knowledge or common experience, but it's the artist who's saying, look at it this way. it goes back to where we were when we were talking about artists also speaking and the ways in which they speak the gospel. Mm-hmm.
And this is only, you know, this is one person's interpretation or a small committee or, you know, I don't know, yeah, you said, put this together. Any other last thoughts about...
Are there other wheels, the other...
So the black and white one that I showed you.
Yeah, but I mean other cathedrals that might have had similar...
Could
do
be.
We know others that are, you know, with all that kind of...
This is stuff I found in the internet. I've never found a book that had it. I would, if anyone finds one, I would love to know about it.
Do you know which cathedral it's from? Do you know which cathedral?
No.
Is it European or English?
No, because I can't get a better original. It's now not on the internet, where my colleague and friend found it initially. So, yeah.
This kind of reminded me of a... explanation I heard a while back about the 23rd Psalm, talking about the valley of the shadow of death and how, you know, the image of the valley and kind of going down into a dark, dismal valley, and, you know, the hope is the upside of the valley. And, you know, you go down on one side and there goes an upside, and I kind of see that with that wheel.
Well, what I hope, because I believe in stopping on time, is that, yeah.
My own point, does it always have to go in the same direction?
Well, according to the artist and according to the person who interpreted it and stuff I studied, yes, it always goes. You know, otherwise, how chaotic would life be?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I can't go back to what I wish it was yesterday,
okay,
sort of thing. The wheel goes in one direction. Because can we go back in time and do things over? No. If something had been different, you know, my life would have been, doesn't do that. It always goes clockwise, so. What I hope this does for you is, wherever you are on this wheel, to know that the good news, bad news is you're not going to stay there. And that that you find your center, and that center blesses you with the faith and the joy and the love that will bless your journey through life. So thank you all very much for coming.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.